This is Profit Matters on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. I'm Ken Root. Trying to get U.S. beef over the Great Wall of China. In the past, it was a stone barrier, but today it is regulation directed by politics. A complex set of maneuvers ahead, but too attractive not to be pursued by U.S. cattlemen. More in a moment.
Hi, it's Ben Nully. Are you 4-H grown? I am. If you're a 4-H alum, now is the time to step up and share your story about how 4-H helped you become the leader you are today. During the month of October, National 4-H Council is asking alumni to tell their personal stories of the positive role 4-H played in their lives. Use the hashtag 4-HGrown and visit www.4h.org/share to share your story today.
With China's recent announcement signaling they're willing to reopen their market to U.S. beef, there is still a lot of work to be done before American producers ever start to ship overseas. Ron Hayes with the Rural Oklahoma Network spoke with Kent Bacchus of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
Well, this really all started with the cow that stole Christmas back in 2003, and we saw a lot of our export markets close overnight. Since then, it's been a top priority for the U.S. beef industry to restore access to all of those markets. And China is the latest market to announce that they were going to reopen for U.S. beef. This is a big development considering it's taken 13 years. A lot of education on the part of the U.S. beef industry. Not only the safety, but the quality of our product to really help address all those concerns that China has had. So we've worked very closely with our government, with the Chinese government, and with the consumers in China to make sure they understand exactly how safe our product is and why we should be able to export to their market. When you look at China's population overall, it's 1/5 of the world's population with a middle class that's larger than the entire population of the United States. This is not only a population that wants protein, they want beef. And beef demand in China has continued to grow. And as soon as we're able to get our foot in the door and be able to compete, we have a product that will outcompete all of the other markets that are there. So we're very excited about this development, and we want to restore full access as soon as possible. So the first step, obviously, was lifting the ban. And we had to get the Ministry of Agriculture to make that announcement. The second step involves AQSIQ, or essentially the FSI as the food safety equivalent in China. They're going to really set the terms of trade, which means what our product can and cannot contain, methods of production we can use. And really, we're going to have to negotiate all that. So it's really uncertain yet as to what the final product will look like going into the Chinese market. But when you look at the overall timeline, there's not a set timeline, so to speak. But when you look at how quickly China has worked with countries like Canada and Brazil to restore that access once they lifted their ban, I think this could be a matter of months. And this is definitely something that we're going to continue to push and ask our government to continue to make a top priority. Asia and the Pacific Rim overall represent the fastest growing population in the world and the fastest growing economies. These consumers want protein as part of their diet, and we want to be in competition for that demand. So when you look at it overall, if we don't secure these markets for our producers, our competitors are already out there trying to secure markets for their producers. That means it's going to be less competitive for us, and they can potentially push us out of those markets. That means we're going to lose that value-added sale that we have into those Asian markets.
A few months before U.S. beef goes into China? Perhaps. That was Kent Bacchus with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Our thanks to Ron Hayes from the Rural Oklahoma Network. I'm Ken Root on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.